Ladies and gentlemen, welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, IMS Tool Solution Packs Enhanced with Autonomics and Modernization. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and include a question and answer session. Today's teleconference is being recorded. In this teleconference, we'll discuss the current trends and directions in IMS tools around automation and modernization. We'll show you how the IMS database and FastPass Solution Packs available in the fourth quarter of this year, make use of our new IMS Tools Autonomics Director and IMS Administration Console components. Our speakers for today's teleconference are Bob Magid, IMS Tools Architect, IBM Software Group, and Chris Holtz, IMS Tools Modernization Architect, IBM Software Group. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our first speaker, Bob Magid.
Well, thank you, Operator. I want to welcome everybody to the session entitled IMS Tools Autonomics and Modernization. My name is Bob Magid. I'm the IMS Tools Architect, and I have here with me again today is Chris Holtz, IMS Tools Modernization Architect. Next slide. What we'll be covering today is, in this agenda, we'll be talking about why autonomics and modernization, our IMS Tools vision that we've been rolling out over the past several years. I'll highlight our all-in-one solution packs, IMS Database Solution Pack, and IMS FastPass Solution Packs, since these are crucial and integral to autonomics and modernization. Then I'll move on to the IMS Tools Autonomics Director. I'll go into some detail on that. And then I'll turn over the presentation to Chris Holtz, who will talk about IMS Tools Administration Console, summarize, and then we'll get into questions and discussion. Slide number two. Why autonomics and modernization? Business challenges demand it. Everyone knows that unanticipated problems can result in downtime and loss of revenue. High availability has been highlighted many times over the past several years, so there's good reason for that. Also, the increased burden of system management and maintenance as these systems get larger and tied into more processes, web interfaces, in addition to introducing new functionality, the systems get larger and they get more difficult to manage and maintain. Also, problem determination is time and resource intensive. Usually when you have a critical problem, your most expert people are called upon to help resolve that problem. And that takes time away from anything else that they were doing at the time. Additionally, DBA resources are dwindling, and they spend a lot of time wasted on repetitive tasks. Case in point, what we'll be talking about today is figuring out whether or not databases need to be reorganized. And all the time that they spend working on repetitive tasks or applying their expert skills to problem determination takes away from moving the business forward, developing new applications, or looking at new technologies that can grow the business and make it more efficient. Moving on to slide number three. This is just a visual depiction of the type of impact that problems have on your operation or operational environment and your business. Problems escalate quickly within your environment and seem to impact pretty much all different organizations within your business, from the help desk to your analysts, to your operations, to your database specialists, and worst off, your customers. So you can't think of a problem as just being isolated to your particular job. It quickly becomes widespread, and therefore it makes great sense to try to prevent these problems before they ever even happen. Slide number four. Also, we consider user interface modernization to be highly important these days. We're working on graphical user interfaces to provide richer user experiences and convey more information. Also, a prime goal is to reduce the need for IMS or system-specific knowledge, shorten the IMS learning curve for new DBAs, and you'll see in Chris's presentation how we offer context-sensitive help in some of the key screens that we have, and we feel that modern interfaces enable deeper integration between tools and cross-platforms. We think that this is really important in terms of customers not having to really understand the boundaries and the capabilities of individual tools, being able to present to them through a rich GUI interface an integrated solution that looks like a single holistic tool. What we're doing, leaping ahead to graphical user interfaces for IMS, focused on web-based interfaces since they're the most flexible and available, exploit the latest and relevant technologies, and allow access from anywhere via the Internet. Slide number five. So here's the vision that we've been rolling out for the past several years. It's really broken down into these four pieces of the pie that I'll go into in more detail. Slide six. Our IMS Tools vision includes various and sundry pieces that kind of emulate human behavior. The first part is sensory data collection, and this is gathering database statistics at regular intervals for your environment, such as space utilization, fragmentation, and optimization of your database. The second piece of the pie is policies. This includes policies that define thresholds that really determine when exceptions should be triggered for your particular databases and notifications should be sent. So these are basically rules when applied to that sensor data that we collected that determine whether or not you consider this database to be something that needs to be reorganized or whether reorganization can be deferred. On top of the collection of sensor data and the driving of policies, we implement automation, okay, which is really the whole process of automatically collecting that data, automatically driving the policies that I just spoke about, and being able to suggest corrective actions when they're needed. And on top of that, really the icing on the cake is the modernization, and I spoke a little bit about that, providing a richer, more user-friendly web-based interface. Slide number 10. Putting it all together, we have our IMS solutions packs, okay, which include high-performance IMS tools that will help manage the tasks that you need to perform for your IMS databases. We have a full suite of IMS tools to help, ones for full-function database maintenance, fast-path database maintenance, recovery for all databases, as well as performance and tuning tools as well. So these packs include functionality that's easier to install, easier to maintain, increase integration so you have really a suite of integrated products as opposed to sideload tools that just perform a specific function. And in the latest release of the packs, we're including really the subject of today's discussion is automation and modernization. And all of our solutions are built to fit any size shop. In other words, they're highly scalable for your environment. Slide 11. Our newest offerings are new releases of the Database Solutions Pack 1.2 and FastPath Solutions Pack. We already announced them in early October, and they'll be available in December of 2011. We find there's a lot of customer value here. We provide a full set of tools, again, for maintaining and managing your full function and FastPath databases. It includes updates to our high-performance utilities, and most notably, it's including the capabilities that we require for autonomics, sensors, policies, automation, and modernization. In short, we're delivering on the tools vision that we established and worked on. Slide 12 also is another pack, the IBM's tools base for ZOS. It's a prerequisite for all of our IMS tool solutions packs and contains common infrastructure components, most notably the IMS Tools Knowledge Base, or ITKB for short, which is really enabling our autonomics and next-generation user interfaces. In case you're not familiar with the Knowledge Base, it's a repository that holds information to help you make expert decisions. In the past, it's supported capturing of reports from our various tools and utilities so that you can capture them, refer back to them later, or share them with your associates. In the most recent release and upcoming release, we're storing policy services data and sensor data. One of the real nice things about tools based for ZOS is it's a no-charge PID. That's the program number down there, and the upcoming release is 1.3. So we felt pretty strongly that these particular functions, this common infrastructure, really needs to be in every customer shop. Thereby, there's no charge for this particular PID. On slide 13, we're talking about more detail on sensors, collecting the basic information you need. Sensory data is statistical point-in-time sensor data. We store that in the IMS Tools Knowledge Base repository and maintain it historically per your specifications. So it kind of acts as kind of a generation data group in that you can specify one through N generations of this data. And when we reach the nth generation of it, the older versions of the data just kind of roll off the end of the database. So we really wanted this to be something that was self-maintaining and didn't require any type of new administrative function. The data that we capture is over 60 separate data elements related to database status, optimization and fragmentation. And you can see the different types of elements that we capture there. Data set extents, DASD volume usage, data set free space, all the important key factors in making decisions about the state of a particular database. We collect this data via two methods. The first method is a brand new type utility, standalone database sensors for both full function and fast path databases. The sole purpose of these standalone database sensors is specifically to generate the sensor data for our analysis. Also, we support integrated sensors, the ones that integrate with our existing IMS tools. And those tools include high-performance image copy, high-performance pointer checker, and for FastPath, the FastPath analyzer and FastPath online pointer checker. So as a byproduct of doing a process that you normally do, perhaps on a day-to-day or week-to-week basis, image copies, pointer checkers, you can also generate this new sensor data without having to run anything additional. Moving on to slide 14, some highlights on our policies, policy services. Makes use of sensor data to help make decisions. The policy definitions are used to evaluate specific database states, for instance, the state of space utilization at a specific instance in time. So this is pretty much a snapshot of what your database looked like from the time that we ran the database sensor, and that's the information that we'll use to make a policy decision. The threshold values are compared against sensor data for a given database or group of databases. And when these thresholds are met or exceeded, exceptions occur, and exceptions really say that you violated these thresholds. So we're using the sensor data, passing it through our policy engine, and when we detect thresholds are exceeded, we let you know about it. These policies work out of the box. We ship with predefined policies and thresholds that we think are industry standards or rules of thumb. However, we do have a full ISPF interface for policy management that allows you to tweak these values to be more specific to your particular environment or your view of what these thresholds should be. You can define your own sets of threshold values. Also, we allow you to customize the messages sent when exceptions do occur. So if you have certain standards in your environment, how you may want messages to look, or you want to build additional automated operations on top of these messages, we allow you to customize them. You can also specify who receives which messages and how. We have a variety of techniques. I think we have WTO, write to operator, email, or text message, and I think we also have TSS send capability on top of that as well. So you get to pick which method you use for receiving these exception messages. Slide 15. So automation is how we're delivering on our vision, most notably the IMS Tools Autonomics Director, which is a new component of the base pack. It's what we refer to as passive autonomics for IMS databases, passive in that we make recommendations that you can follow up on. We don't take on performing that particular recommended function for you at this point. It automates ongoing database monitoring and maintenance tasks based upon that detailed understanding of your current state of your IMS databases. Recommends when databases should be reorganized. Again, we're only recommending, and you'll see later on how we make those recommendations. We also provide a scheduling feature that allows you to control how frequently sensor data is collected and how frequently policies are evaluated. So if you're very aggressive in monitoring your databases, you could do it on an hourly, daily, weekly basis. We also allow you to specify longer periods of time. It's all according to how much overhead you're willing to incur and how important this data is to you. And we think that the customer value here is to help you prevent problems before they occur. We want you to be able to achieve higher availability and better performance through optimally organized data that reorganization gives you. Also, we want you to have consistent, reliable monitoring of database status. For instance, regular collection and evaluation at predefined intervals. So it won't be a matter of when your very busy DBAs get a chance to do it anymore. It will be done automatically for you, totally automated for you, and you'll be told or recommended when follow-up items need to take place. Slide 16. Also, we simplify ongoing database monitoring and maintenance tasks. We relieve the day-to-day burdens on the IMS DBAs. They can concentrate on perhaps database design or participate in design reviews, that type of thing, reduce the analysis overhead by generating recommendations. So no longer will the DBA have to sit down and decide they need to run a space management report, take a look at that report and refer to several pages for different key indicating fields, or go to a VSAM IDCAMS report to display this current state of VSAM statistics. Everything will be gathered for them and analyzed for them, greatly reducing the amount of overhead to performing this activity. Also, we reduce the skill set that's required to analyze database status so that we're rolling the feedback that you've given us into our vision and into our delivery, in that we know that you're stressed for highly skilled people, and we're helping to reduce the skills required to perform these functions. We also make efficient use of system resources through that integration point with our existing IMS tools. Again, you'll be able to collect information about your database status in conjunction with IMS tools execution, such as pointer checker or image copy. We'll also have historical collection of database status for growth and trends projections, and we see this as a synergy point with our new IMS admin console that Chris will be talking about. You'll see the kind of neat graphs and reports that he's able to produce from this historical collection of database status. And best of all, this is very simple to get up and running quickly. It's simple to install and customize. I like to say it's a set it and forget it type of implementation. You set it up one time, it should run indefinitely without further intervention. And I think it's pretty easy to use, and I'll show you some samples later that hopefully you'll agree with. So let's go through an overview of Autonomics Director. Again, it integrates with our existing tools. I spoke before about the fact that we've been moving more and more towards integration, making things seamless, making things more efficient, and this just carries through with that. There's also a function for on-demand collection and evaluation for immediate issues. So for a DBA or someone else on a help desk that gets a report that there could be a problem with a transaction which may be the result of poor database performance, this type of on-demand collection will allow users to sit down, or DBAs to sit down, ask for an immediate sensor data collection and evaluation, and you'll see right there the results of that evaluation and know whether or not you've got a pain point in your IMS database. Also, automatic analysis evaluation of database status based upon those user-defined policies and thresholds that I talked about before. And one of the nicest things about this whole thing is it comes with a very easy-to-understand recommendation, a very simple yes or no. So either yes, your database needs a reorganization, or no, it doesn't. We also email you or text notify when a reorganization is recommended. This is aside from the recommendation itself that we present for our user interface. You'll also receive an email or text notification that a database is indeed in need of reorganization when that takes place, and that's to alert the DBA to consider taking that action. We also have flexible scheduling around your peak workloads so that we don't interfere with your production throughput or response time. And the implementation here is pretty unique, in my opinion, in that we don't ask you specifically what day or what time you want to schedule, say, a sensor data collection or a run of policy analysis. What we ask you to do is to tell us what your peak workloads are, okay, times when you don't want us to perform any activities because you don't want contention on your databases or you don't want either memory or CPU resources to be absorbed by non-essential work. So we'll actually schedule around those peak workloads in order to obtain the information that we need to make a decision. Moving on to slide 18, we also work with your existing job schedulers. We realize that customers put jobs such as image copies or pointer checkers, or they may intend to put these database sensor jobs into job scheduling subsystems that are standards in their environments. And whether we schedule a job with our job scheduler or you schedule it with your job scheduler, the product functions almost identically. It also exploits the power of IMS Sysplex, or Sysplex in general. We have redundant servers for the highest levels of availability, and I have a slide that depicts that that I'll show you. We also have the capability to spread data collection, our sensor data collection, and associated tools workload based upon system capacity and status. And that's making use of the MVS workload manager to make determinations where are the best places to schedule work in a Sysplex at a particular point in time. The product is easily customized for either individual databases or groups of databases. We have an order discovery process that will discover all the databases and database groups in your environment through the definitions in your DBDLive or DBRC recon data sets. And the support that we provide here is really targeted at people that associate groups of databases with responsibilities. So I'm the DBA that's responsible for this particular application, and this application's database is in a particular group. As a DBA, you can go in and define which databases or which groups you want monitored and associate default monitoring parameters with that group. Okay, when you further define that group to Autonomics Director, we'll actually propagate those group assigned defaults to the individual databases that you register. Therefore, this simplifies the customization or setup of the product. You don't have to customize every individual database. You can customize groups of databases. We also provide an intuitive user interface for all of our users, full implementation of user interface under ISPF, and we also integrate with the new IMS admin console for viewing database status on the web. And Chris will show you some of that later on. And this is all available with the upcoming release of the IBM Tools Base Pack 1.3, which again, in case you missed it the first time, is a no-charge product. So part of the base pack itself is no charge, and this component is no charge as well. Moving on to slide number 19, just wanted to show you briefly how Autonomics Director could be configured in a particular environment to really bring this thing home for you. So what I'm showing here is a slide with a Sysplex in it, four MVS systems as part of that Sysplex, and the bluish boxes in the middle depict the Autonomics Directors and the IMS Tools Knowledge Base server. What's really required here, absolutely required, and minimally required, is the AD or Autonomics Director Master Server. That AD Master Server is responsible for coordinating all of the Autonomics activities within this AD environment. So it controls the interactions with IMS Tools Knowledge Base. It also is responsible for submitting sensor jobs and gathering the output and actually performing evaluations. Now up in the upper quadrant, the MVS1 box shows a special type of an AD server. And that AD server is basically a failover server. The only function of the failover server is to monitor the health and welfare of the master AD server. If that master AD server or the LPAR that it was on should terminate for any reason, the AD failover server would take over as the master, therefore improving the availability of AD within your environment. To the right, you see some other optional address spaces. Again, the failover server is optional, but the active servers also on MVS3 and MVS4 are optional as well. We call these active AD servers, and if you choose to install them or use multiple AD servers in your environment, what we're able to do is actually monitor the state of the systems on which these AD servers actually live. In other words, from an MVS performance perspective, and based upon the performance data that we get back from Workload Manager by querying it periodically, we can actually determine that we can route sensor jobs to those other MVS systems and therefore perform some workload balancing for your sensor jobs, for your HPIC jobs, and for your high-performance pointer checker jobs. So the failover server provides you with redundancy, and the active servers optionally provide you with workload balancing. Again, the only thing that's required, though, is the master server. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 20. It's kind of a cross-section of that Autonomics Director master server address space that I just highlighted in the previous slide. What I want to highlight first on this slide is to the left-hand side, you see a number of different libraries, DBSensor, JCLLibs, DBDLibs, and DBRC Recons. Before you customize Autonomics Director, you need to identify these libraries through the knowledge base, and Autonomics Director obtains it from knowledge base. But basically what you're doing is you're telling us where your DBDs live, where your DBRC recons are, and your DBRC group definitions are. Now, once that's defined, you can actually go through and customize Autonomics Director. You can see to the left there that user interfacing with the user interface services. Also, the same user interface services is used to obtain recommendations later on. But for customization purposes, the user comes in to customize and tell Autonomics Director which databases need to be monitored for their environment, and they make use of this auto-discovery feature that's included. The auto-discovery feature actually accesses the contents of your DVD libs and recon data sets and presents you with a list of DBRC groups and individual databases that are actually candidates for monitoring in your environment. Using that menu-driven selection list, you can define which databases you want monitored. And what's created from that is a little table in memory that we refer to as the monitoring list. And it's in the center of the Autonomics Director Master Server address space picture there. Here we've defined multiple databases, User Database 1 and User Database 2, and you can associate, as part of the definition process, you give us parameters that we use to control the monitoring and evaluation of that database. For instance, how frequently we should collect sensor data, how frequently we should perform evaluations. So once that's all set up and defined, then Autonomics pretty much takes over. The monitoring services that appears up in the left-hand corner of this diagram actually periodically runs the content of that monitoring list and also consults with the scheduler services to decide which databases need to be monitored and when. Okay, so when the monitoring services decides that something needs to be done, like a sensor data collection, it actually routes the name of the job stream that contains your sensor JCL through the router services down there in the right-hand side, which is submitted through the internal reader. Again, it could be a standalone database sensor, an image copy, or a pointer checker. When that job finishes collecting the sensor data, it notifies Autonomics Director that new data is arrived, and then Policy Evaluation Services is invoked to generate a recommendation. The recommendation is stored into one of the IPKB repositories, and later on, at your leisure and when you feel it's appropriate, you come in through the Autonomics Director user interface and receive those recommendations. That's basically the entire flow of how this works. Moving on to slide 21, talk a little bit more about customization highlights. We discussed the Autonomics Discovery feature. It simplifies your customization via DBD Live and DBRC Recon definitions in the knowledge base. From those databases, we become aware and present a list of databases and DBRC groups. And from that point on, it becomes a menu and selection list-driven process in terms of defining and configuring which databases are monitored and how they're monitored. You can work with individual databases, specifying monitoring parameters, such as evaluation interval, sensor data maximum age, and sensor job stream. You can also identify which policy you want. With policy services, we offer a number of different techniques for configuring policies as well as selecting policies to be used. So you don't have to have a different policy for every database. You can have a different policy for different database types like HDAM or HIDAM or PHDAM or PHIDAM, and say that when you configure a database that you want the policy for that particular database type to be used in the evaluation. You can also configure a policy the same name as a particular database, and we'll use that database policy when that database is actually evaluated. And you can also specify a particular policy name, give that policy a specific name, and refer to that policy name in the database registration. We provide group support. All DBRC group types are supported. We also support HALDB databases as well as partitions, FastPath, DEDBs, and areas. When you display a particular group for our interface, a DBRC group, we'll expand that to show you all the members that are part of that group, and then you can decide whether or not you want to add all of those databases in the group to the monitoring list or whether you want to add specific ones. In either case, when you define the group, you specify parameters similar to the ones that you would specify for an individual database. And when you go and you add that group, okay, what we, by default, will automatically propagate those default parameters to all the defined database members that you're registering at that particular point. So you can take those defaults for all the databases in the group, or you can actually go and customize each individual database as part of that overall group definition. So it's very flexible. You can be very granular, or you can be very high level if you want, and that was really the point of doing all this. More sensor data collection highlights. We provide automatic scheduling, automated or on demand for our Autonomics Director. The automated can be based upon a period of days, hours, or minutes. Just as well, you can use an external scheduler, the scheduler that you have installed in your environment today, or you can use manual submission. Nothing prevents you from going in and doing a submit of a pointer check or image copy or a standalone sensor job. The result is all the same, that after these jobs are run, there's a notification from that sensor job to the Autonomics Director that new sensor data has arrived, and that will drive the autonomic analysis evaluation and create recommendations. Slide 23, evaluation highlights, again, based on user-defined policies. That's our IMS Tools Policy Services feature. Policy selection is based upon database type, name, and policy name, or policy name that I discussed before. And we do have robust threshold criteria based upon key status indicators that customers told us were key status indicators and that they used for monitoring the health of their databases. The results and recommendations that we generate are retained in the repository. So it's not something where you absolutely have to be there to receive it. They're put into the repository and they're maintained historically based upon your user specifications. It's very similar to the way that we maintain sensor data historically, where you specify a number of generations that you want maintained, and after you exceed that number of generations, the older ones kind of roll off. The results and recommendations are accessible via the ISPF or the web interface. And again, there's optional email and text alerts for those databases that are deemed as to needing reorg. And now on to slide 24 here, where we actually have a screenshot of, I think of this as basically the panel that most people would be using in Autonomics Director after it's fully configured. This shows the databases that we've actually configured into our monitoring list and are actually being actively monitored in our test environment here. You can see that there's information. There's a column for DBD name, partition, or area name. And then we provide some information about sensor date and time, the last time that happened, as well as the last time evaluation date and time happened as well. One of the key fields that I skipped over because I wanted to come back to it was the column that says reorg on top of it. And that's the indicator as to whether or not after the evaluation a reorg is necessary or not. You can see here that none of the databases that we've been monitoring need reorganization. Okay, but there are cases where there could be an evaluation where although a reorganization won't help, there could be some indicators or situations where there could be things that are critical. There are situations with databases where with some of these sensor data items that we collect and evaluate that even if these thresholds are triggered, a database reorganization wouldn't really help. And that's why we have that severity column indicator there. And the severity column indicates whether or not nothing is wrong here or there's a critical, severe, or a warning situation. Now, from this screen, you can actually perform a number of different line functions, select database attributes or schedule on-demand sensor data collection evaluation. But what we're going to do here is view the recommendations for a particular database, that ORDDB, and that's why I've placed the V under the action bar right there. So when we place that there and hit enter, what we get is what's on screen 25 or foil 25 here, which is more or less a full screen presentation of the data that was contained in the individual row on the prior screen. And what we also do here is we provide you with a little bit of additional information, such as the policy by, in this case it's policy by DB type, and the name of the policy that we're actually using, you could see matches the database type. We're using the SysDBD type HDAM, and up top here we have the HDAM database indicator. So from this screen, you can actually drill down if you want by putting a select in that selection input field where there's a green S, and you can actually drill down and get more information about which exceptions were triggered in this particular evaluation. So if you do that and hit enter, and what you get is slide 26. And what we have here is basically a cluster of lines that describe each rule that was triggered as a result of this particular run. Okay, the first one says that the available extents for a database of ORDDB is too small. But you know as well as I do that doing a reorg won't actually increase the number of extents, and that's why we wouldn't have made a reorg recommendation on this. Instead, we cite it as a critical problem for your attention, and hopefully you'll go back and reallocate this database with additional extents and then do a reorg on it. And there's a number of other similar type of exceptions here as well that I won't go into detail. But suffice to say, from a very high level, we tell you that you've got a problem. We tell you, and then we allow you to drill in to find out exactly what the nature of the problem is. But key to the whole thing is the fact that basically we tell you yes or no, something needs to be done, which I think you have to keep in mind. And on slide 27 is just a sample of the email that would result if a database did need to be reorged. Gives you some information, the to and the from, and a small detail of information about exactly what the nature of the particular problem might be. So with that, I finished my part of the presentation, and now I'll hand over the presentation to Chris to finish this up.
All right, great. Thanks, Bob. So I'm going to pick up where he left off and talk about the fourth part of that Autonomics pie he was talking about, which is our modernization, which is stretching across a lot of our IMS tools. I'm going to specifically talk about our IMS administration console, which, as you'll see as I go through this, is directly tied in with this Autonomics and picks up on all those other pieces right from there. So what we're actually doing, and I'm looking at slide 29 now, is in IMS tools, we believe we're breaking new ground with the release of our IMS tools administration console. This is a web-based interface to a lot of the products that Bob talked about. We'll actually, with a single installation that you can, all your DBAs can point to, from there we'll present exception notifications, recommendations coming from the Autonomics Director products and policy exceptions, a lot of the stuff Bob talked about. Again, the customer value here really is that as DBA skills or the amount of skills that are in the field are diminishing, either through people retiring and hiring on new, as those diminish, the remaining DBAs really are being taxed for their time. And we want to be able to reduce the amount of time they're doing those tedious tasks. Now, that certainly involves us picking up a lot of that work through the Autonomics, but as well presenting interfaces where you can come in and we bring all that information right to your fingertips so you can hopefully rapidly interpret what's coming out of all these tools that we're providing. On slide 30, I talk about some of the goals of our administration console. The idea from the very beginning of our modernization strategy in general is to create a single holistic view of your IMS databases. And the idea here is that when there's a problem, we want to create a single place to go where we'll do the work of going through the various tools. So we may go in the background, not even a single click, go and talk to four or five different tools, compile all that information and present it to you. This makes it so that experienced DBAs as well as new DBAs don't need to know the interfaces of every individual tool, but rather can come to this one place and we'll bring that information to you. This means that the administration console we have is very dynamic. We'll give you different views based on what you're looking at. If you're looking at a HALDB, we'll give you a different view than if you're looking at a ShySAM database, for instance. We do have integration with a lot of our Autonomics, the Autonomic Director, as well as ITKB, as I'll show you. And the biggest place that we do get most of our information from for our administration console is through that IMS Tools knowledge base. And we'll talk a little bit over the next couple of slides of how this is set up and how that connection is made to the Z, to the back-end ITKB and Autonomics Director, in order to build these interfaces and show them to you. Another big part of this, of course, is preparing that next generation of DBAs. We certainly see that as an issue that when people do leave, they're not always backfilled. But when they are, it's really unlikely they're going to be filled with somebody with 30 years of experience. And so we really need to reduce that learning curve and be able to bring on new IMS DBAs that can be effective almost immediately. One of the ways we're doing this is leveraging the latest technologies for accessing your IMS, and by integrating a really robust help system, and I'll demonstrate that as well as we move on. So a couple of screenshots before I talk about the setup and then normally I'd go into a demo, but we have a whole series of screenshots to kind of show you how that demo would work. But the idea is, much like the screen that Bob showed in an ISPF interface, we have an overview screen. So you can set up, create your own groups, highlighting at a high level what a group looks like. We'll show you all the members of that group and boil up the information about were there critical policies, were there policies that were triggered at a high threshold and therefore triggered a critical, severe, or warning. We'll boil that information up as well as reports that are generated for the particular database and give you kind of an overall status of the database. So you can see in this example, CUSD3 database actually is in red, and you can see the reason really is because we have two critical exceptions. So being able to see this at a high level and be able to now just double-click to drill down, the next slide shows you a view of a single database, right? And so the point here, and I'll talk about this in a few slides, the point here is that we are actually pulling information from various different tools. Right now we're integrating with really these four different tools, our auto discovery to learn more about the database so we can present that this is an HDAM database and a VSAM, as well as some other statistics. Talking to Autonomics Director so we can tell you that there are, in fact, four exceptions you should look at here. The various tools that output their reports to ITKB, we could pull those in. So in this scenario that ran, you could see in the far top right corner that we have a number of reports that have been run over the last couple of days. So if I click on the September 14th, I can go and look at that report right away and see what was run. And then, of course, what I believe is one of the real values here of our administration console is being able to then graphically show you the sensor data. I'll show this in a more expanded format where you can see all the various statistics. But again, when the sensor runs, it's collecting on the order of 60 to 70 different statistics. And over time, you can learn a lot by being able to graphically show those trends and see that I'm starting to run out of space, or that you can visually tell that the database is becoming more fragmented, even if it hasn't triggered an exception yet. Again, the idea that we're pulling this information all together into one kind of dashboard for you to see. Slide 33 talks a little bit about then preparing that next generation. So throughout the interface that we've built, we've embedded a lot of these little, as you can see here, this little eye icon. And basically that means that we have embedded information and embedded health there. So by clicking on that, we'll pull out a panel on the right side that now tells you about, you know, can give you integrated health right there. So for instance, in this case, if I were looking at the highest used versus highest allocated RBA chart, by clicking on that icon, it pulls up some health that now tells me, well, what does this actually mean? What do these statistics mean? When is the situation bad? And if it is bad, what should I do about it? Right? We definitely believe that helping to get those new IMS DBAs that are just learning, integrating the help and putting it right at their fingertips is really going to help them to grow their knowledge about IMS much more rapidly than needing to go out, search for a red book online, and then start reading through that. Slide 34. Again, some of the benefits here. The idea is this is, again, similar to what Bob was talking about, kind of a one-time install here as well. Set this up and kind of forget about it. The idea is we want to install this once and have all your DBAs that want to access IMS point to that same one. This is independent of how many actual SysFlexes that you may have. The choice is, of course, up to you, and I'll show you a little bit on the configuration side how this can be configured. But still, the idea is you should just have one administration console installed. And then it's accessible for anybody with zero install because it works through all the standard web browsers. And it is just a standard web application. Safety and security features are all built in. We use SSL at every endpoint to secure privacy and secure your data. We do RACF authentication or any staff compliant RACF type authentication mechanism that you may have. What this means as well, and I'll talk a little bit about this on the next chart, is that when we actually authenticate you with your RACF username and password, any access to any tools that we actually talk to are happening as that user. So just like if you log in through a TSO session, you have no more or less authority than you would traditionally. Everything works out of the box. There is a very simple install for this and a little bit of setup, which I'll step you through. Easily customizable. We allow you to define your own groups. And again, like Bob talked about, this may be because you've divided the responsibility of databases up for different people, so everyone wants to set up their own groups. Or you may set up groups based on applications or transactions. Be able to monitor them that way. The choice is up to you, and it's quite customizable. Of course, we're trying to get this consolidated information all at your fingertips, so you spend less time digging through various tools to pull this all together, and we try to do that for you. 535 is the administration console installation configuration. The administration console is shipped as part of the IMS tool or the IBM tools base pack. This is the no-charge product that Bob mentioned a couple times. In there, it's a standard SMPE install. What happens is we lay down a single part. That part can be FTP'd to a workstation where this can be installed. We ship this as a standard install anywhere job that has a wizard that comes up, asks you some simple information about setting up, and then lays down, in this picture, this pink box in the middle, which is your application server. Now, that application server acts as the HTTP endpoint and where every one of your DBAs would now point their browser to. What we actually need installed on Z is what we call a distributed access infrastructure, or DAI. This is also shipped as part of the base pack, and it has the ability then, of course, to do your RACF authentication and authorize you to an application class or into a particular group. So an administrator still has control over who can come in and who they don't want to come in. And then, of course, being able to talk to the individual tools. So when you want to talk to ITKB or our Autonomics Director, or even launch a JCL for that matter, it happens as that user. So on slide 36, I'll start going through some of the screenshots here. It doesn't do it as much justice as a real demo, but I'll kind of go through these fairly quickly. The idea here is we have our login page. And as I'll cut over, the first thing you do when you first install this is you do need to set it up and tell it where your IMS systems are. And so we go in as an administrator and create a new connection. So on slide 39 now, I'm adding a new environment. An environment from our point of view is really an ITKB, our knowledge base, and an Autonomics Director server. So that kind of pair becomes an environment. When you set that up, we also run a quick discovery. So flipping through some of these slides, I'm now looking at slide 42. You add in your RACF username and password here, and this will actually now connect to that system through our distributed access infrastructure and run the auto discovery. And what we're doing is examining the recons and the DBD lives that you've associated with ITKB and building essentially a map of that environment. So when this runs to completion, you would see a quick status update of how many databases and partitions and areas we found. This is a fairly small example that spits out. Once you've set up an environment, and you may set up several here, and depending on your configuration and how you break it up with ITKB and Autonomics Director. Once you've done that, this is where a traditional on a daily basis DBA may log in. Choosing the environment, and here I've set up a simple example again, and entering your RACF username and password. On slide 48, if that username and password was successful, you're then in and you're into the administration console. The first time in, there's a welcome page with some general information about how you can learn how to navigate the administration console and other information and useful links for education purposes as well. The heart of the administration console, I'll show you on page 49, really is this resources tab. The resources tab, the idea is that we're going to list resources down the left-hand side. And when you click on those, you can drill down further to find the problems and schedule actions and whatever you want to do. We offer four views of your resources. I'm showing a My View, a Recon Group, and a monitor list. I think as I step through this, slide 50 shows that monitor list. This is the monitor list that you've set up using Autonomics Director. So you can quickly see here that in this example, there's probably 15 or so databases that are being monitored by Autonomics Director. We also support a Google-type search. So as you start typing, you know, we'll fill in We'll figure out which databases are potential matches, and you could find it. The idea here is not only would I always just drill down and look for exceptions, but as a DBA, I may get a call from an application developer or worse in production and say, there's a problem with this database. You come here, you type in the name of the database, and we'll take you right there. So the heart of what we want to do is get our users to start building groups. So in this example, on slide 52, I'm building a new group called Critical Databases. Again, by finding the databases I want to add to that group, I can add them in. This, for instance, may be the five or six databases that are giving me trouble lately on a daily basis. And so what I would do when I come in is immediately come in and select that top-level group. Slide 54 shows that, and we saw this picture before. And the idea is I can quickly then see here, you know, if this is all green and there aren't any of the red in the overall, then that's great. That means I could now go off and get my coffee and start my morning. But if I come in here and I see red, then I know that there's some action that needs to be taken. And this hopefully is just a warning, but if it's at the critical level, you definitely would want to investigate that. By simply clicking on that, we can drill down and see more information. Slide 55, I kind of gave you this tour around the screen here, but we are pulling in the information from the various tools. In this case, where I'm investigating an exception, I would immediately want to look at these critical exceptions right at the top. Slide 56 shows hovering over one of these exceptions will give me a message of what the issue was, at what threshold the exception occurred at, and as well the policy. Now, this is useful because I may, after doing investigation into this exception, having gone down and looked at my sensor data and decided, well, this really isn't an issue. Yeah, I didn't really want this to be flagged as critical. Or, for instance, I know that this database is fine and is operating just fine like this. I can go in now, edit that policy. All right, so we're showing you that policy name here. If you actually then click on the exception, we will pull up integrated help to tell you what does that exception mean. So here you have excessive RAS synonyms. You can read about what that is, why that's a problem, and as well potential solutions. Now, not all of these have easy solutions that we're documenting here. And we're going to, as we move forward, we're going to still keep enhancing this help as well. In the latest version, I think these slides are a bit dated, we're also put links now to performance and tuning red books and things at the bottom so that you can always hop out and we'll point you direct to those other useful documents that you can read about and learn more about how you should handle this. Moving on, if I click on, as I mentioned, clicking on a database shows you overall statistics about the database. If I open it up on the left, I see that this database has a single data set, and I can see useful statistics about that particular data set. Expanding the space usage tab on slide 59, I'll get a list of a lot of the data points that we have related to space usage. I can zoom in using these sliders to look at just the last 3 months, 12 months, or even 2 years here if I want to try to identify trends that are going on. Now, our test data in these snapshots is pretty boring. These are very stable data. But your system, you may really see spikes here in variations. If you're running our sensor jobs rather quickly, you may see trends at a certain time of the day or a certain days of the week. You get spikes that you might not normally even be noticing. Slide 60, we can zoom in, of course, even further and now just investigate a single chart. And, of course, we have help on that. Now, the last couple slides I want to get to, we will show, I guess, on slide 62, if you click on HALDB here, again, it's a slightly different layout. And, for instance, on this one, we may not be running Autonomics Director. And if so, the exceptions here, they may say there are no evaluations that have been run. This may trigger me to say, well, there's no evaluations running on this database. I would like to go back into Autonomics Director and add that to my monitor list so that I can now start seeing evaluations and even more sensor data. The next couple charts I'll kind of skim over. They dive in deeper on some of the sensor data for various partitions. On slide 65, we have a report tab as well. As I mentioned, a lot of this comes in our base pack, or pretty much everything I've talked about comes in our base pack. And even if you don't have our database or our database solution pack or our FastPass solution pack, which is the pack that provide that sensor's information, even if you don't have those, this can still be a very valuable tool just for being able to integrate with and be able to view the reports coming out of some of our other tools. So if you run a pointer checker on a weekly basis, for instance, you can come in here and you can view those reports right from the web interface. You can build your own customized queries that say, well, just show me the ones with non-zero completion codes because I'm not really concerned of the other ones. Show me the ones in the last 7 days, or build your own search criteria for a particular database and combine these in any way you want. So on slide 68 is essentially our summary. We do want to say that we are hearing your concerns, and we understand that our DBAs out in the field really are being asked to do a lot more with a lot less time. And that means eliminating the tedious type of works, as we're really showing, and Bob talked a lot about with our autonomics direction, where we'll wake up and do some of that tedious work for you, as well as being able to pull that information right to your fingertips, as I demonstrated with some of our administration console work. And for sure, as folks are retiring and new ones are coming in, we need to reduce that learning curve so that rather than taking 5 years before they can actually replace what an experienced DBA was doing, we can cut that down to even shorter, and hopefully they can even find a role and be useful right at the beginning with the integrated help and bring them on quickly. We do have the solution pack. The idea here is these packs do provide everything you need to manage and maintain either full function or fast path databases. These are both brand new, version 1.2 as of December. And all this has dependencies upon our base pack, which has just moved up to version 1.3 and is a no-charge product. And that's a lot of what we've been talking about here. The very last slide on page 69 has both my email address as well as Bob's. I want to thank you for your time, and you can always email us here if you don't have questions now. If you do have questions, just stay on right now. I'll hand it back to the operator, and they'll be able to take your questions, and we're here to answer them. Thank you very much, and I'll turn it over to the operator for questions.
Thank you, Bob and Chris. Now, we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a question and answer session with the presenters. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all the options before making your selection. Our first question, please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. For our second question, please evaluate the level of technical information presented in this teleconference. If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Question 3. Do you need an all-in-one solution to manage your IMS databases where automation is used to free up your time for more critical tasks? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. If you're not sure or need more information, press star 3. Once again, do you need an all-in-one solution to manage your IMS databases where automation is used to free up your time for more critical tasks? Question 4, are you interested in knowing when you have potential IMS database issues before they impact your business? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. If you're not sure or need more information, press star 3. Would you like to check the status of your critical IMS databases from anywhere and receive an email or text message alert when action is required? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. If you're not sure, press star 3. Once again, would you like to check the status of your critical IMS databases from anywhere, receiving email or text message alerts when action is required? And thank you for your patience. This is our final question. We hope you've enjoyed our teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving information on this solution. If yes, press star 1. If no information is desired at this time, please press star 2. And this does conclude our survey. Thank you for your participation. We'll take your questions at this time. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, star 1, and we'll turn the call over to our speakers while we wait for questions. We do have a question. Let's go to Paul Gandolfo with Telcordia.
Hi, Bob. I was just wondering, you know, is it possible to customize the product so not a full reorg is done? In other words, I'm assuming that, you know, you have some kind of warning for, as an example, too many CI-CA splits. So maybe I don't want a full reorg. I want to do something quick, you know, maybe with an index builder type product to just redo all the indices. I'm assuming the product contains that kind of capability.
Hi, Paul. You have to keep in mind that, you know, the product is, you know, as I mentioned, that it's only passive autonomics. So we're only really making a recommendation as to whether or not you do a reorg or not. We're not actually initiating a reorg on your behalf.
Oh, okay.
And so that's, you know, that's what you see on the on that summary screen is whether or not you know, yes or no, you should initiate the reorg. But the type of reorg that you do would be pretty much up to you.
Okay, thanks.
And once again, to the phone audience, please press star 1 if you have any other questions. And Mr. Holtz, Mr. Maggott, we have no further questions. Any closing remarks? I'll turn the conference back to you.
I appreciate everybody spending the time and listening to what we had to say today. I hope you found it interesting, and we look forward to working with you in the future on this product and the follow-on to this product.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening. And we've mentioned our email addresses in the presentation. Please shoot us email if you have questions.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining our conversation today. You may disconnect at this time.